You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
Audience advisory. This episode includes discussion of sexual abuse, assault, and self-harm. Support for managing difficult feelings around these topics is available from 1-800-RESPECT or Lifeline on 131114.
I am Bella Baxter. I'm a flawed, experimenting person. I seek outings and adventures. Bella's so much to discover.
You're the most beautiful woman I've ever seen.
I am finding being alive fascinating.
Bella.
Why I keep it in my mouth if it is revolting? I must go punch that baby.
We must experience everything, not just the good, but degradation.
Shall we sing?
Horror. Sadness.
Bella!
Then we can know the world. And when we know the world, world is ours.
Any more?
No more. Any more's too much.
Hello and welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome. Yes, hello, my name is Dion, and that was a seamless entry into what I consider a Frankenstein of a podcast today. Yes, hello, and I'm joined by the always wonderful Peter, the absolutely delightful Jill, and the mad scientist that is Quinny. Oh dear, yes, what an interesting topic that I have chosen. Yes, I'm going to say that out right now.
Oh, you chose this.
I chose this. This is my fault, so I'm going to stand up and do that because, to be fair with this one, I saw a lot of buzz about it and I thought that's interesting, and the director has made some, you know, interesting stylistic films in the past, and I was like, it's got some good actors in it. And so, yes, this is the one that we're doing. And, of course, it just won an Oscar for...
More than one.
Well, yes. Like quite a few, in fact.
Yes, and Oscars, as it were.
Buzzy, very highly reviewed, much lauded film by many people.
Yep. Was on my to watch list as well because I thought, oh, there's so much hype about this and it looks quite stylistic, and I thought, oh, that could be a fun watch, not knowing what the actual story was about.
No, I have to admit I did that too. I went in cold as possible. So
had any of you watched the trailer at all?
I mean, I've probably seen like clips of the trailer. Like, I've seen Emma and I saw Mark Ruffalo, and yeah, and I thought, oh, just like the visual, and I mean, everyone's raving about it. It was under high Oscar contention, and it had picked up quite a few awards at all of the other things that have been going on right now.
It's SAG. Very interesting. I also like it in the chat that not a lot of people have seen it, and oh boy, are you in for a treat.
My wordy lordy.
Because this one has generated some opinions from everyone who we know that has seen this, and I don't want to get too weird away from it. Not all of them are good. Maybe that has to do with the basic premise of the film and the creative people behind it. But, you know, that's okay. Don't want to do this one.
Rob has tried his best to avoid interviews and reviews, and I don't know whether to say, hey, you know what, stick around, or like...
Let's really try hard to not do spoilery things, because there's such a thing that is in there that is just like, this changes the whole dynamic of the film. Let's try and keep that for the second bit, but we'll have to try and do a spoiler-free one. It's difficult.
It's difficult. There will be strong opinions, but you will not have context.
Yes, there is some...
For a strong opinion. But this is okay, because I also have strong opinions about things that aren't to do with that as well. So we can we can do the gamut. We can do the theme and the tone and the politics and the style. We can talk about all of that.
Yes. So just a little bit of a look back on the director, Yorgos Lanthimos. So people in the chat have already mentioned that they hadn't seen one of his more recent films, and by recent, I mean 8 years ago.
The favorite.
Yeah, the lobster, which I
Oh, right. My friends have been talking about this one as well, because when I got in my group chat and was commenting quite heavily about Poor Things as I was watching it, a friend mentioned, "Have you seen The Lobster?" And I was like, "Oh, I haven't, but I'm now curious to go and watch that because I have watched The Favourite, and I got to say, I found that a bit meh. I wasn't really on board because, and the weird thing is that I usually kind of love that weird dry humor, but there was just something that didn't connect for me with that one. So that's
I was the
yeah,
same with
anyway.
The Favourite. You're like, I was, you know, I actually barely remember it now, but I remembered like, I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. It existed. I
Yeah,
did like the
poor
lobster though.
thing.
That's, you know, it was such a delightfully, you know, one of those kind of like delightfully unhinged concepts that's, you know, explored in film. So I think
And
that's what we're trying to do.
sits very much in the kind of realm of, if not magical realism, the lobster is kind of absurdist kind of filmmaking with a romantic absurdism kind. I
I heard
don't.
it was a satirical romance, and I'm like, that's different.
It's yeah. And you know, when you kind of read the synopsis of that, you think, how the fuck does that work? You know, a guy goes to a weird retreat and slowly becomes a lobster or something. I can't even remember. I just remember it being deeply weird
If
and
you don't
quite
if you don't
fun.
find love after the certain amount of time, you get
That's
turned
right.
into an animal. And you can
That's
choose
right.
which one you want to be, and he wants to be a lobster.
It different to like that Kevin Smith one? Was it The Walrus or
Oh,
Tusk, where that guy
Tusk.
turned into a
No,
walrus?
that wasn't a choice.
Oh, and I see that Elskin Norgan not a big fan of the lobster.
Well, it just
Okay.
depends. Like, I mean, look, if there's something about this, you know, I'm trying to sort of figure out whether or not it's all of these are stylistically the same and they're a very typical kind of a movie, because this one's stylistically beautiful.
Oh,
Wonderful look at, excellent cast, excellent costuming, excellent sets, and magical realism tone that goes through it. Like, I was watching it going, this is beautiful and wonderful, and you know, kind of a visual feast, and you know, choices that I would not have made but were definitely intentionally made, even to the detriment of it. But I'm not sure if it all kind of works out in the end. I'm not sure if this is a beautiful, you know, Michelangelo sculpture, or if is this a postmodern destruction of itself that's in an art museum that I'm like, well, that's not really art, is it? I can't tell.
But by the mere existence and in the way that you question it, it makes itself art.
Yes, you've got to have
Well,
those
let's take it
conversations.
initially purely from a style perspective, because
I was just gonna ask if we could get a synopsis first before
Well,
we
that's not
go
a bad
into
idea.
all of
Can
this.
we have it? So
Yes.
we're talking about Poor Things. What is Poor Things? Why are they poor? Is this a
Okay. The
communist
Who were the
manifesto?
poor things?
Is it is
Yeah,
it yeah.
well, there's an
Is
important question. The second and important question is, what shit accent am I going with? Am I going for Mark Ruffalo's shit accent, or am
I
I
don't
going
even
for
know.
Willem Dafoe's even shitter accent?
I'd quite liked Mark Ruffalo's shit accent of just like caddish kind of London-y guy. I don't know, from like the
I
1800s.
kind of want you to
Rakish
say
cad
it.
TM. Yes,
My first,
1800s rakish cad.
my first thought was to Quinny, do it in the meter of Bella Baxter. And now that I say it out loud, I do not want you to do that, because that is, I shouldn't say
I don't
that.
know that I could, let's be
No.
honest.
No.
And to be honest, it's going to be hard enough with that rakish
Rakish
cad
cad,
TM, because
You want
it's
to
a
be a
very weird accent. It's sort of. I honestly couldn't tell you what the
yeah, I
fuck it
think you
was.
kind of had it.
Like it's an American trying to do very bad British and not caring that he's doing very bad British.
It's kind of like what if Mr. Darcy was a stoner?
This is not going to be anything like Mark Ruffalo's accent. I'm just warning you.
You've got
This is
your brief, Quiddy. Go and go.
okay. brought back to life by an unorthodox scientist. Fuck, I just turned into Matt Berry.
Yes!
Oh, New York City! A young woman rides off with a lawyer on a whirlwind adventure across the continents. Free from the prejudices of her time, she grows steadfast in her purpose to stand for equality and liberation. Fuck, I mean,
it's Matt Berry meets Catherine O'Hara now somehow, but I'm loving it.
Oh, dear.
Sorry, I apologize.
Like, no, I love it. I fucking love it. Equality.
So, yes, a woman is brought back to life by an unorthodox scientist, and there's the understatement of the synopsis.
Yes, it's a Frankenstein. It's Frankenstein.
Yeah, basically.
It's Frankenstein.
It's Frankenstein, but we're...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, it's except that, you know, Frankenstein is a masterpiece of genre written by a female author, but aside from that... It's totally Frankenstein. Let's talk about everyone's calling this a masterpiece because I feel insane. I feel insane and like I accept that I am very possibly wrong because I feel very much in the minority here. There's definitely a lot stylistically that's thrown at this. And you know I love me some cinema.
Is there a lot really thrown at it stylistically, or did someone discover what a fisheye lens was?
That's okay. One of the things that's thrown at it stylistically.
Here's the thing. The production design I would rate as like Victorian meets sci-fi meets Art Nouveau. There's like this weird kind of magical realism, as Dion said before, about it. And that's kind of where it feels like it fits. But all of the locations are fantasy. Like, they're real places, but they don't look like those places. And then the costuming kind of fits within that Victorian aesthetic, maybe even like dipping into Edwardian, but also has that futuristic vibe of like, couture and construction and very Victor and Rolf kind of avant-garde look about it. And all of that kind of shit I ate. But the rest of this movie?
I mean, I kind of ate it initially, but then it like made me a little sick. Like,
I did start to get on board with the fisheye lens, though. Like, the camera usage in the cinematography was unusual, and I think that kind of like was going for that art house aesthetic in its whole styling, but it doesn't take away from the story, which is like half of what the movie should be about.
Yeah, I mean, the fisheye lens, like, I mean, the question is why?
I don't know that it translated into anything.
And that's the problem. Like when you first see the fisheye lens, I'm like, oh, is this like,
is this a voyeuristic like, kind of view? Is this supposed to be our perspective?
But then, no, not so much. There were also like black and white color choices that like, why? I don't know.
It starts off in black and white, and then you go to some flashbacks where it flashes back into color. And you're like, we stay in color for a while. We're like,
I feel like it switched to color when she left the manor.
Yes, I feel like, but again, it was kind of like, but why the black and white? We can talk more thematically about that later. But there was, for me, there was kind of a lot of like, oh, we're throwing a lot at this. It's a bit much. Like, it's a bit much. It's like last week I got upsold on a dessert and it was like a cheesecake. And like, I didn't really want dessert, but like the person who sold it to me was like, no, you have to have this cheesecake. It's like freaking amazing. And like, I love a cheesecake. I love lots of kinds of cheesecake. Like, I love a baked New York cheesecake. I love a Basque cheesecake. Like, I love like a Japanese, like an Uncle Tetsu's cheesecake. I even kind of like the like shitty frozen Sara Lee ones because even though they're objectively bad, they're kind of comforting and nostalgic. And so this like cheesecake comes out and it's like, it's too much. Like, yes, it's a cheesecake, but then there's like a jammy flavor bomb in the middle and there's like a different syrup on the top of it. And like two bites in, I'm like, oh no, this is like not like it's cheap. We don't need to do this much to a cheesecake. Like, and it's also, a cheesecake doesn't need this much done to it. And to me, it was like that.
It's a cheesecake with a bomb Alaska on top of it, and somebody's also thrown a bit of like extra chocolate from another dessert on.
Which is what this dessert tasted like.
Oh, right. DTM. Okay.
DTM, doing too much.
Yeah.
And that's what there was something, and I know I made this exact complaint about Willy Wonka. Maybe it's a me problem, so much, not so much a movie problem. Really, you know, lots of things about it were beautiful. I loved the color palette. You know, I loved the production design, but it just felt soulless.
Yeah,
it felt completely soulless.
Much art can you put into a project without editing and still have it contribute to producing something of quality?
But it's also how much are we spending way too much time trying to get the very specific, very clever things about the look looking right, but not actually thinking about the humanness that actually makes up the story, that actually gives it its soul. There was something very kind of like carefully constructed that kind of felt about this from a purely stylistic point of view without going into any of the thematics. And particularly at the beginning, you know, I love me some like dialogue driven stuff. It feels like it's written. I love a lot of
Tony McNamara.
I love his scripts in stuff like The Great. And there was definitely an element to this, that in this, particularly in Emma Stone's accent at times, but the delivery felt like actors delivering the lines. It didn't, like, there was just something that was very, like, disconnected for me.
But I honestly think that perhaps is what Lanthimos was going for, because I don't think that you can put Willem Dafoe in that makeup. And one of the, you mentioned, German film. There's sort of a German expressionist brutalist kind of look that, you know, would be very much at home in Cabinet of Dr. Caligari or Metropolis or something like that. That you put him in that, you make him as ridiculous as he is, you let them get away with the shitty accents that they are getting away with. That to me is very indicative that the director has said, fine, do that.
This sounds like Bella Baxter's right now. I understand.
Is that just me?
No. It's just me, Quinny. We lost you there.
Sorry, Quinny.
You were making a beautiful point and we lost you halfway internet. Through.
Yeah.
Ah, fuck me. that's so annoying.
Yes.
It was a very good point about German expressionism and stuff, and I'm being a German and expressionist.
Yes,
you said like the brutalist thing and then the shitty accents, and you could chuck Willem Dafoe.
Oh, it was just
there and...
yeah, basically Yorgos knows what he's doing, and if people are acting shitty, it's because he told them to act shitty,
right? And that, you know, and you know, I guess then the question is, you know, what is a masterpiece? And there are certainly a lot of masters of their work who will take that approach, totally fine. It's not the kind of work that I particularly connect to, so I didn't have a great time with it, even though I was like, oh, that's pretty. And also, let Wes Anderson do Wes Anderson, like, honestly.
Yeah, if you're going to have magical realism, you know, go down a different kind of route.
I totally get where people are coming from with like the masterpiece thing, but I think it's because they're basic and they're just being fed this and they're like, oh, yes, it's visually stunning. People are doing quirky performances, therefore it must be wonderful. But like, are you having an emotional connection with what's happening in the piece? Because I was completely emotionally tuned out in the first 10 minutes. It completely alienated me and it made me extremely uncomfortable. And I was quite depressed that I had to watch the whole thing to review.
And it's long.
It didn't, I gotta say, it didn't feel long to me, even though I was distressed watching the whole thing and like devoid of wanting to seek any enjoyment from it. But when you compare it to other shit that was also in this category at the Oscars, like Oppenheimer, yes, that was a fucking long movie. Yes, it had a brutal storyline, but god damn it if I didn't connect emotionally with the people within the film that were actually giving good performances. And I gotta say, I don't understand why Emma won Best Actress for this trifling piece of garbage.
Because it was bold.
No. Here's the thing. Like, people were singing her praises, go, oh, you were so wonderful. Oh, you brought this character to life. I'm like, it honestly just felt like she was reading the words. There was no emotional connection I was feeling from this character. I didn't understand why she was so, well, no, I do understand why she was emotionally stunted, but I don't get the reasoning behind why that was. It's so complicated. So, yeah. Not to spoil it for anybody entirely, but the way that she has been brought back to life is she was a woman that had that was pregnant.
I mean, this is quite suicide. Potentially big spoiler, yeah. Or are you going for,
well, this is no, a fairly major spoiler.
It's the start of the film. I don't think
it's not revealed until the second act.
No, they say that she has a child's brain.
Not till the second act, but anyway.
Oh, well, I fucked it up now. Shit.
Yeah.
Anyway, the reason why she's been brought back to life is because she has a child's brain. So, therefore, she is maturing in the body of a woman. But yes. There is nobody that is raising her. So she is really quite dysfunctional.
And, the person who has been raising her is somebody who has come from a deeply distressingly abused childhood of their own,
yeah.
And has a completely weird, distorted view of what love and caring and everything
also,
is.
The big issue with it is they're raising her as a woman, not as a child. And that is wherein all of my problems begin. Because once she starts to discover sexuality, that is when she becomes preyed upon by everybody that is supposed to be caring for her. Yeah. And that is where I completely switched off.
Yeah. Absolutely. Like this is one of those ones that like a movie that has come out because it has a very disturbing central premise that once it's explained, you are not like it doesn't add any sort of comfortability or justifiable explanation to it. Like, this is why.
No. And the way that they play it off within the film is in such a lighthearted manner,
yeah.
In that it's like, oh, this is just a funny thing that's happening.
And they try to justify that by continually referencing terrible things that happen to other characters as well. Like they do it, which actually does work in certain circumstances. Like, it is funny, but that one central tenet that goes on from the start of the film, yeah, I agree. It just made me deeply uncomfortable about the rest of the organization.
They also try to explain it by saying that she's developing faster than a normal person. Because I've seen a lot of people saying that this is like very, very not cool and is essentially, you know, sexual abuse of a minor. And other people going, oh, but she's described as being developing faster, and therefore by the time that this happens, she's at least of, you know, adult mindset. And it's like, no, she's fucking not.
Okay.
But also, it doesn't matter.
In any of those circumstances, did she consent to what was happening, or did she make the first move at all? No, it was.
The question is, can she consent?
Yes.
That is the question, and that's why we have content advisory on this talk. Because this is obviously the kind of the main thing that it just kind of makes me wonder, like, yep, okay, I get if people are like, oh, you know, look at it, it's such a masterpiece because it does cinema stuff. I don't understand why not many people seem to be talking about this very, very strange and not okay aspect of the plot.
Everybody's writing it off as like, oh, it's about a woman becoming, you know, emancipated and, you know, okay, exploring her body and all of this.
Let's like, okay, say, let's say that is what it's about. Let's kind of remove for a second the most problematic element of what this is and say, okay, this is an exploration that, well, the consent. Let's say that their argument checks out that, oh no, because she's developing faster, that's not a problem. And let's look at like what obviously the film is trying to say. The film is based on a book, by the way, that none of us have taken the time to actually read, because by the time I watched the film and formed strong opinions, it was too late for me to go back and read the book. I did in order to prepare and kind of check, I did watch a comparison of the book on a film and the film on a YouTube channel called Why the Book Wins to understand how the film came out of the book and some of the choices that were made. And there are quite a few interesting differences between the book and the film. But the main one that's relevant to this discussion is that there is a twist at the end of the book. Spoiler alert, if you're going to read the book, there is a twist at the end of the book. And the book is written primarily almost like from a found manuscript of McCandle's about his wife. It has her point of view in it at the beginning of the book, saying that everything that this guy is about to say is basically fueled by untruths. And then at the end of the book, it has her point of view of what actually happened, which completely contradicts everything. So I kind of looked into kind of the choices that were made by the filmmakers, who are not women, in terms of what part of this story to tell and how to tell it. And they seem to really kind of want to focus on, but this is like Bella's journey and her voice. But it's not. The way the book is written, this is Bella's journey as told by her husband and as refuted by Bella or Victoria herself. And it's such a strange thing to have removed from the storytelling, because it kind of changes everything about the way we interpret it.
Yeah, I could maybe forgive this interpretation of the film if that was made clearer, that it was from the perspective of her husband or McCandles. Like, that maybe I could have said, okay, so maybe we just take this with a grain of salt.
So it's like people are like, no, but this is like such a beautiful meditation of seeing a woman go into the world unburdened by knowledge and oppression of the patriarchy, to kind of explore her sexuality and to be free and all of that. But for me, even if you take away the weird consent issue in the plot and just take it as just that, who is telling the story and how? Because frankly, like, I saw a lot of like naked Emma Stone, and I saw like, you know, a lot of social commentary. But as a female audience member, I did not feel like this was at all reflective of certainly standard or common experience of sexuality or being in the world. And I certainly did not see a liberated character. Even though I know the plot is trying to point out that all of the men are terrible, but even you kind of get to the end, I do not see a character who is somehow liberated because she was raised without the expectations of patriarchy.
I would more say that this is the perpetuating existence of somebody that was abused or was given a life of this is the norm, and then continued throughout their adult life perpetuating that, whether to like the betterment or the detriment of their life.
So I appreciate the comment or the exploration that's trying to be made, but I don't appreciate the the continuing oblivion of, masters of their genres about which stories they are qualified to tell and will be able to tell well. And I particularly don't appreciate that nobody else seems to have noticed. And everyone's like, no, it's a masterpiece. I'm like, I must be insane.
I think you're in
I
good
must
company
be
here, Pete. I
mad.
don't, because I mean,
Because I was so pissed off for this entire film.
yeah, absolutely. Like, I mean, I watched this as well, going, oh no, I'm really excited for this. It's been like cleaning up, and people have been praising it and doing it and all that sort of stuff. And I was watching it going, oh no. Like, I'm trying hard to justify, like, I mean, these are the things, like, I can't fault the actors, the quality of the actors, the sets, the stylistically, like, it's all very beautiful and very well done. But yeah, I was just uncomfortable through the whole thing because the central premise of the movie and how that plays out and what is the eventual, like, ending of it. I was like,
And
this
also,
is less than a Z grade kind of plot
I
from
would just like to point out that, like, isn't a sexual liberation usually off the back of being stifled sexually? So, therefore, how can you say that this is an exploration of her sexual liberation when she has been nothing but a fucking horny woman the entire time, but also been sexually preyed upon by the men that have inserted themselves into her life and, taken her body as, property? There's scenes where literally, like, Mark Ruffalo is touching her without permission. And not just like a tap on the shoulder, like,
Going right up.
it's not. If there was any kind of liberation happening, it wasn't a sexual one. It was one of her exploring the world and finding out what is out there besides what she grew up with and all of the sex that she's having.
Yeah. And essentially discovering oppression along the way.
Yeah. And maybe finding out about poor things that didn't happen in this movie.
Oh no,
The poor things that she wants
she
to
was
change her life and
again, apparently that's like a much larger bit of the book in terms of what she ends up doing with her life to dedicate
So
her
why
life
call
to.
this movie Poor Things?
I love that. Yeah, so that's a bit spoilery, but yeah, I don't know. Yes, it's an odd
Uh-oh, we
one.
have a man wanting to play devil's advocate in the chat.
Oh, yes, he is
Wow.
clearly meant to be a
Yes,
vile human, so yes.
it is
Yeah,
not
but
supposed to feel like that is a good thing when it happens necessarily. No,
No,
it
exactly.
is. It does feel like it is trying to make a comment that the oppression of women, sexual or otherwise, by men is bad. Like, it doesn't feel like it's saying, yay, this is all excellent.
I don't think it goes far enough.
Well, it doesn't go far enough because it's not made from the experience of people who have actually experienced it. So how could it? Like, I appreciate the effort. I appreciate the kind of outside of the extremely problematic element of it. Like, I appreciate like the effort to kind of, tackle that every single person in this woman's life has in some way obviously been oppressing her and like obviously that is not presented as a good thing, and I don't believe that the filmmakers were like, look at all of these wonderful men helping this woman along her journey. Like, they are really, making a statement about, systemic oppression of women on a, cultural and societal level. I mean, they have couched it in a historical era, which is kind of strange because samesies now. But can you make that film right? Can
Yeah,
you
it
make
just feels like
that film right?
the way that it ended, where
And it's so
it's like
lazy.
you haven't distanced yourself from any of this. You've just come back to it all.
It's so male gazey. Like, it is so much. And Emma
That
Stone
was
is
something I was
beautiful.
going to mention is
Beautiful, of course. And I actually don't, I don't have any serious issues with her performance in the film, and I love her work in general, but it's like
The
it's
thing
so male
is,
gazey.
if I wanted to watch straight porn made by men, there's plenty of it out there, and I don't like it, and it's not for me. So this is why I don't want to watch this movie ever again.
Yeah. I mean, it's Quinny, you're going to say something about this.
I was, because it was something that I noticed while I was watching it, is that there are ways to shoot sex that are, show different ways of it feeling. Whether it feels good, whether it feels bad, and the
Sure.
way that women's bodies are looked at. And there are times that I've seen it done incredibly well. And there are times where I was like, Jesus, that's a lot of Emma Stone. That's like, it was, I felt like this was one of those things of going, oh my God, she's so brave. This actress who's getting around so naked all the time and everything. And I was like, there are
But
so many
why?
ways to do it that aren't as gross feeling.
It's just wet slapping pornography, let's be honest.
It's funny, I had the subtitles on and some of the
Was that
the
wet description?
descriptions in the soundtrack sounded a little bit like
Wet
that.
slapping.
Wet squelching was actually like there at some point.
Oh, good.
Oh dear.
And yeah,
But yeah, look, I mean, and it's not to say that if you really enjoyed the film, obviously you were in the majority if you really enjoyed this film. Like it has been, critically acclaimed. I will struggle to recommend it to
I
anyone.
fucking roll my eyes every time I hear critically acclaimed on this movie.
Well, it
I
just makes
will
me feel
give,
insane.
yeah, I will give it props for its stunning design work, because I did look at it compared to the other film that was up for design, and I did kind of look at that because, oh God, what was it?
Barbie.
Yeah, it was Barbie. Yeah,
Yeah,
and
because look, I'll be honest, like if you want to compare the two in terms of production design, like Barbie had a very clear purpose and aesthetic, and this one was just pretty. But
I
it was
think,
beautiful.
yeah, and this one was baroque and detailed and had all of these different things that it was trying to say with its design, but it like the Oscars is not a thing of subtlety and
No, I
not a
just feel
thing.
like, Barbie was so functional and purpose driven, and in that way was an extremely well done production. But yeah.
Yeah, I looked at the two side by side and went, I see why they did that, but also I can see why they shouldn't have. Yeah. But anyway, oh, and yeah, the music. I
This is
think if.
why, like the first 90 seconds of the film, I'm like, nah, I'm already angry. Hate this.
I don't remember the
The
music, but
music pissed
I
me off.
did like the
That's
score.
a personal stylistic thing. That's
Okay.
actually lots of people would like the music. I just personally like it grated
We're
on me.
going to make
I
this
liked
sound
their title
uncomfortable
score.
and out of tune and weird for the
Oh yeah,
entire
okay.
time.
Yeah, that stuff was yeah, but the score I enjoyed. But yeah, all
And
the other
then we're
little
gonna throw that fucking annoying thing where we're gonna
ditties.
make everyone get tinnitus or think they have tinnitus for just a little while, which is just the laziest fucking piece of shit that I've ever
I
seen, which
mean,
would. I
yeah,
didn't
all of
notice that
it.
because I actually have tinnitus, so it will just have blended in with everything else.
All of it was just layers and layers and layers of styling.
Yeah.
And that's what kind of shits me about it. And it's funny because I've thought a lot about Saltburn while I've been thinking about this movie, because that's something else that we've talked about lately that has been very polarizing, that hasn't been as heavily lauded as this one. I spoke when we talked about that, about how, I mean, they're both very much kind of like auteur-y kind of films. And, there was some very overindulgent stylistic choices made in Saltburn that as a viewer I found quite delicious. I'm like, you know what? This is overindulgent as shit, but I'm here for it, like I'm enjoying it. And I just had the opposite experience in Poor Things. Like exact same, like, yes, this is like an overindulgent directorial choice, and I do not like it. Like it is starting to piss me off.
Well, I say that we should drop some numerical ratings in that in the thing, because I feel like we've still got things to talk about in the spoiler section.
A bit of
I apologize for giving away like the main premise of the film.
There's a few rounds of ammunition I think stored up to be deployed.
Yeah, we still got some hurting bombs.
Few carpet bombs coming up. Who wants to go first? Is anyone who wants to polarize it out first?
I will, because I've been thinking about it since I watched the movie on what I was going to give it. And purely, it's only for artistic preferences of mine, and that it kind of ticked boxes for me. I'm going to give it a 30. None of those points are for the story. Mm. It's purely on a design score. Yeah.
Yes.
It's not the movie for me.
No, fair enough.
Totally fair.
Yeah, I mean, it is a hard one to rate, because if I was treating it academically as like a film analysis, there I would find lots to kind of talk about it and pull from it in terms of, you know, interesting stylistic and directorial choices. But seeing as we don't rate based on that here and we rate based on how much we liked the film, I'm also going to give it a 30, which is so low for me. And I know I don't usually do it. But that's what I like.
You're allowed.
It means it made me mad. And the, you know, impressiveness of some of the stylistic choices did nothing to balance out that anger for me.
And so that's an angry 30. Dion. Go on, polarizes.
Look, I mean, mine was pretty low too. It was under the 50 mark for just a lot of those bits, but I'm going to like, it went back up because in that sliding scale that I run in my brain of like, how much do I do this? Like, knocking bits off because it's a bit shit. And then it comes back up a little bit. Like, I mean, I've seen this film before in another film, but I'll explain that later. But I ended up sitting at about 55. And literally that gets above the 50 only because it's really beautiful. The style of it is great, but the rest of it was all like, it was sitting under that because of just what was around it. Like, this is wrong. Like watching the entire film going, I can't get on board with everything. Like everything that came after the start, all the way through, all the jokes, all the beautiful cinematography, all the points that were trying to be made, you know, everything that went through, I was just like, but it's shadowed. Like, sorry.
I mean, if I enjoyed the stylistic choices that were obviously very impressive, it probably would have affected my rating. But seeing as they just also, like, made me cranky. It was like, oh, that's impressive. I hate it.
What a beautiful piece of set design. What a cunt.
Oh, my 30 points is all for production design.
Yeah. God, I don't know. I find it really hard because like there was a character who said something within the first 10 minutes of the film that made me just go, wow, this film, Jesus. And from that point onwards, I was like, and I don't know whether that's a cultural thing of that, you know, you could say it and, or they're intending us to hate the character, but you can't use the R word in, you know, in a way and still have me, you know, get on board with that character, no matter how sympathetically they try and paint them.
And not a technical use of the R word in ableist context, but definitely a wrong use of the R word.
And
again,
then,
intended to shock.
Intended to shock, but at the same time, it felt just like, oh, what? Okay, you're trying to shock me. There were so many things that were so contrived, you know, and being contrived for a very particular reason where it's like, oh, look at us with our pig with a duck's head. Oh, look at our, you know. Look at Portugal, except it's clearly, you know, Portugal via Metropolis, you know.
I mean, yeah, if it was like Spain or something, I could forgive it for like the Gaudi aesthetic, but yeah.
Yeah, for me,
I don't think architecture in Portugal is like that.
no, there were so many parts that I was like, wow, that's visually stunning, but then it would do something really annoying, and you know, I kept on going, what the fuck is your accent? And Willem Dafoe's makeup, where I'm like, what the f-? And he's spitting bubbles everywhere, and I'm like, what the fuck? You're being
Yeah, they're kind of
willfully
annoying.
fucking quirky,
Yeah,
and I found it
you can't do half
really annoying.
Genet.
Well, that's just it. Like, if you look at, you know, Jean-Pierre Jeunet, or you look at somebody like Terry Gilliam, who would do something along these lines, they'd do something with a similar feeling of style and yet have something more to it. This felt like it was cherry picking from all of these things and then doing something really mid with it. Something really, what was the word you used? Basic.
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 I know, it was a pastiche. It was like somebody flicking through a textbook and saying, oh, what are all the really pretty and cool things that we can put in here? And then just slapping it all together without really kind of any thought for a sense of cohesion. Like
Yeah.
these quirky moments that you talk about, Quinny, like the blowing the weird gas bubbles and all that kind of stuff, it doesn't lead anywhere. It doesn't give us anything. There's no empathy for that character from like the experiences that he recites throughout this movie. You're not really kind of getting any lived experience from him. There's no emotion behind anything that he's saying. It's just all being recounted, and it doesn't feel, there's no empathy to be earned.
So yes, in the end, my rating is 45. Let's have a clip, and then we'll come back and pull it apart even
Sure.
further.
Right.
Yay.
Let's go and have a look at some of the attempted comedy that comes much later in the film after all of this, after Bella has returned.
Wedderburn became much weepy and sweary when he discovered my whoring.
I find myself merely jealous of the men's time with you, rather than any moral aspersion against you. It is your body, Bella Baxter, yours to give freely.
I generally charge 30 francs.
Well, that seems low.
Yeah, well, there's the point, isn't it? It's like that is supposed to be one of the comedy moments of the film, and in the end, after you get past the certain premise, it's just disturbing.
Look, the way that Emma speaks through the movie, I understand it's because she hasn't had a proper brain development as like a normal child would over decades, and like all of her learning has been very quick. She walked quite stunted for quite a long time. I get that that is her brain development happening in a very short space of time, but God, it shat me to tears by the end of it.
It's just a strange thing because I mean the film buries the kind of plot development because I'm not going to talk any more about how good it looks and how everything works and that stuff because it doesn't matter. The stuff that shat me is I think when they set it up and they do pepper it a little bit before they get there and they do things like one of the characters says, "Oh my, yeah, basically my father used to abuse me," and another character in the film goes, "Oh my God, that's terrible," and then they move on playing it as a joke. And then when you come out and you go, oh, where did Bella come from? She's obviously not here. How did you find her? It's like, oh, her mother was a suicide, but she was the fetus. And then we took the brain out of the baby and chucked
See,
it
okay,
into.
there's the thing that we didn't cover is that yes, she has the body of, but
Yeah.
she is her, you know,
It's
she's
spoiler time
the
too. I've put
brain.
this
Yeah,
stuff
we're
up.
in spoiler territory. She is the brain of her own child.
Yeah.
Or so like she's a child living in her mother's dead body.
Yeah. It's a nightmare scenario, but I think that that was the thing that just stuck with me is like it is a baby that has not been born, that has been put into a fully adult grown woman's. And then instead of even trying to explain that, they just pass it off and go, that's funny, right? And then move on.
And she's developing
Yeah.
so much faster. So it's okay that she can be
Yeah.
sexually invested
Yeah,
and
and they
involved.
premise it with, oh, she's an experiment, so therefore I'm not doing any kind of nurturing whatsoever.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then that everything that
So
happens
she is
from
completely
there.
emotionally stunted as well, because there has been no sense of nurture or like
Well, it's not even nurture, it's just abuse. Like, I mean, this is just,
Oh no, that's what I mean. Like the way you raise a child is through nurturing and teaching and all of this kind of stuff, and none of that is happening. I'm like, this sick experiment, dude, because like what's the experiment about then? That you could do it because you did it. you've done it with all the other weird fucking animals that you have at your manor. So like, where do we go from here? If you want to have this experiment, why not like do something with it? What, you're just monitoring what she eats through this guy? Okay, well, why don't we like test a theory and like experiment with like her development of a fucking baby brain in a woman?
And but then no, they do it again. Like,
just feed her to the wolves and she's preyed upon. It's fuck this movie.
And my first but why about that, by the way, when that kind of explanation of, you know, it's very rare that you get, you know, a body so near death that you can do this with, and you have, you know, a dead woman but a live baby.
Oh, yeah, the stars aligned on this,
You have a dead woman but a live baby. So obviously what you do is you take the baby's brain, you put it in. What? You've got a live baby? The baby's alive. That's just the baby. That's like, I know. I what mean, the it's, fuck? It's
so you've just, killed, just like, have killed the baby. Baby
and let it, like, oh my God. I mean, I'm not like pro-lifer, but when, like we're talking like a full term, like, I have a full term baby. Anyway, that was my first but why that's just kind of like glossed over.
The whole film
take
is.
Take the baby out of the womb and then put it in the.
They took the baby out of the womb, but the baby was like living.
Yeah. Okay.
Like,
and this is one of the things. Right. The whole film is just a dark, ridiculous situation. It's kind of like someone who just is like accidentally trauma dumps at a party and just goes, oh yeah, you know, and by the way, I had to watch my mother die and I walked on to this other thing. And you're kind of like, wait, that's horrible. And this is the whole film plays off that as if it is funny, and that makes it quirky. And then that's the whole thing of it. And it's all about liberation. And it's like, it's not liberation. It's not emancipation of this human child hybrid. It is just unless it's like true calling is to try to point out exactly how horrible men are, and it still fails on that. Like, I feel like it trips every time it goes to make a point. It trips badly, and it thinks it's scored. Like, it thinks that it's like, oh, I've just made a really good point that's valid about, you know, society and wealth and how people treat female.
I would say that, like, everything. The only real scientist in this film is Bella herself, because she's the one that experiments quite a lot. And I'm not in the crass, I'm a sexual experimentation way, but in the way of, like, she is studying human behavior and learning all of these things. Like, she, towards the end of the film where... the mother's body that she is in, her name was Victoria. So when Victoria's husband comes back to claim her and was like, where did you go? You took off. She's like, I'm going to go with this guy and see what happens.
Yeah.
But every aspect of an occurrence that happened to Bella, she was all about, like, let's go with this and see what happens.
Bella is a
character.
When
she went to Portugal with Wedderburn, and he's like, oh, no, you only eat one tart. She's like, well, fuck that. And she went and got another one. And what happened? She threw up. But, you know, she wanted to see what happened.
Yeah. She
got more than one.
She's the fun experiment scientist that's going through, and all of this is an experience. But it's also terrible.
And it kind of, also throws me at the end where she's like, her whole rhetoric for like the entire of the movie is like, I'm going to be a doctor. I'm like, at what point were you influenced to do this? Like, where did this inspiration come from?
Well,
apparently in the book, you know, there's a scene in the film where she like just randomly stabs a corpse.
A cadaver. Yeah.
Apparently in the book, she actually was assisting Godwin with his surgeries and
you.
Well, like,
you can't put
heaps
that
earlier
in the movie.
On.
You can't put that in the movie if you have not earned it.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Apparently at the end of the book, her separate account, where she wants to correct the record, which then is like thrown apparently, you know, also into doubt after that. But her separate account is, you know, she wants to be remembered for this and this and this. And it's like, she has become a surgeon. She has dedicated her life to, you know, the, solving the medical problems of women and the poor and that kind of thing. And she's like created this huge, you know, life and career for herself where she's actually helped a whole bunch of people through this. Whereas kind of in the movie, it's like, I'm going to be a doctor.
I kind of wish that like all of the incessant fucking had been like really cut down and they'd explored more of that, because that would have been a far more interesting film.
But maybe
I wonder why it wasn't like more than an hour of incessant fucking.
Actually, I think it's because everybody involved in working on the project was a man.
I'll back that up going, yeah, I mean, it sounds like the men read the first half and went, this sounds like a great book, and then just went and made that and managed, yeah.
Again, I will say there is plenty of straight porn out there made by men that is exactly the same as this movie.
Yeah.
Although, to be like completely fair, I watched it and I say I didn't find any of it sexually, like it wasn't something that I was watching going, oh, this is kind of hot. It's just like, no, this is just all weird.
But
that's somebody's kink.
Yeah, exactly. If you just got to rub one out, then that's what you watch. But like, who watches porn for emotional connections?
But it's the premise, the broken premise is inescapable, is the problem. Yeah. And even if you were going to try to enjoy the rest of the film, like the moment that that is revealed, really makes it a little bit impossible.
Yeah.
Unless you really stretch your suspension of disbelief to a point where you accept that no, she has emotionally and psychologically and intellectually developed to the point that she is a woman and can consent now, which runs and like it's an antithesis to her actual behavior in the film. So, you know, pick one. It's one or the other. Like either you have the character having fully emotionally and psychologically and physiologically developed, or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And in the film, they didn't. So it's inescapable. Like you just can't get around the very, very strange issue of this is a child's brain in an adult woman's body.
Exactly.
And it glosses over so many things that could have given more depth to it for the sake of a few more scenes of fucking. Like, there's a
sequence. I would have loved to have seen any of the moments where she went with that other girl from the brothel to the socialist meetings.
Yes.
100%. I would have loved to have seen her actually do more to actively help the poor people than just like hand over a bunch of money to someone and wander away.
But, you know, playing that for laughs and basically saying that she's innocent and too easily fooled, and you're like, Jesus,
which one do you want? Yeah. Do you want her to be like developing mentally, or do you want her to be stunted? Like, I mean, you've got to pick a
which
lane.
Again is obviously a statement that is trying to be made that none of these men are doing the right thing, but it's too problematic.
I did like the Duncan Wedderburn like character journey from, you know, insufferable Victorian cad to I've gone to a mental asylum because I fell in love with someone who was just using me, and I'm like, okay, I get that. I understand.
And I enjoyed Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of comic performances, he was the only one that hit for me.
Yeah. And I love William Dafoe's Victor Frankenstein opportunity where he gets to, you know, do that. And I really liked the assistant, the housekeeper, what was her name? Miss Prim?
Miss Prim.
Yes, I liked Miss Prim. She was great, like, just as a nice little comedic foil.
And shout out to Matt, Margaret Qualley, who, like, why would you put somebody so astounding just in the tiniest little bit part? But okay.
Sure. I mean,
yeah.
Can I draw your attention just to another film that I think is an allegory to this one, which I highly recommend you getting out and watching if you can. It sounds terrible, but it's called Frankenhooker. Now, Frankenhooker is actually, whenever I was watching this, I kept getting drawn back to, they did this in Frankenhooker. The only difference is that after, Bella Baxter has sex with men, they don't die. But when they have sex with the Frankenhooker, she electrocutes them. It's great, like, you know.
Yeah, that's cute.
But Frankenhooker is a story of a guy who was running experiments, who had a girlfriend, and she was lovely. And then she dies and he puts her back together again, but with pieces of prostitutes or sex workers, because that's what you do. And she becomes this weird Frankenstein that has a whole bunch of memories from all the pieces of sex workers. And it's very funny. And in the end, the big turn at the end is that the Frankenhooker regains all of her memories and starts cutting up other people and putting them back together, because and does it to all the men that had wronged her across it. And I was like, this is exactly...
That sounds...
This fantastic. Is Poor Things. And also you will love it because it is terrible. And also that's the way, that's how you want to experience it. This one has that same kind of a story, but everything's so good about it. Like, that's what frustrated me. We talked about Madame Web and I was like, that's just a piece of shit. Whereas
you
this
know what?
One is like,
I did research to see what other like porn parody Frankensteins are out there. And there are a lot.
Yes.
But boning the assembled dead is a real kink for a lot of people.
But
interesting.
Quinny.
I was just going to say, also coming out at almost exactly the same time is a film called Lisa Frankenstein, written by Diablo Cody and Zelda Williams, which is an 80s style retelling of Frankenstein that's more rock and roll.
It
you know what? Probably
very
more
good.
Fun.
I do want to see that one.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the fact that this is leading us to talk about what is the next Frankenstein porn mashup you should watch, and not, you know, to the actual attempt at social commentary, I think is really, really telling. I mean, Frankenstein was social comedy before it was horror. Yeah. It was an exploration of what is human and what is monster. And this is, you know, obviously intending to be an exploration of how the, you know, societal constructs around the oppression of women operate, and how they more broadly operate to oppress many people. Like, it's not invisible, like I can see it, like I can see the comments that is being made in there, but the fact that the mode chosen to make those comments has now led us to talk about Frankenstein porn.
I feel like
it's a slight failure.
Those comments only ended up in the movie because it came from the text.
Yeah.
And it wasn't.
And the text
done
was a much broader exploration. Also, it was socio-political. It was set in Scotland. It was saying a lot more about different things.
Yeah. And I think the unfortunately majority men production team and directors and et cetera that were involved in making this just kind of picked up all of that stuff as happenstance because it came from the text that they borrowed from. So, yeah, not by any purpose of their own to comment on it, but it just ended up in there.
I feel like it's the kind of movie that you do when you're wanting to prove that you understand women. Look, I understand women. Look, this poor woman who is the child of a sexaholic, but I understand
women. I don't even feel like this is men saying we understand women. I think it's just them making a funny little porn adjacent movie.
I mean, look, I'm gonna read a line that I clipped from that YouTube video earlier from the book that kind of went to the soul of what makes me uncomfortable. Like, the book also written by a man, by the way, and this is a line from McCandle's retelling of events. It says, "You think you're about to possess what men have hopelessly yearned for throughout the ages, the soul of an innocent, trusting, dependent child inside the opulent body of a radiantly lovely woman."
Yeah, that's quite poignant, isn't it?
Now, neither the text nor the film are saying that is actually a good thing. They are both trying to comment on why it's not a good thing. But certainly did not land for me the way it should have watching the film.
No, it really feels just like, oh, this is the male sexual fantasy and we're going to explore that.
Yeah.
Or we go and think that we're exploring female sexual liberation, but actually accidentally tumble into the male sexual fantasy. Oops.
Yeah,
because they're like, they're trying to do that, but through a male gaze.
Yeah, which is not possible.
Yeah.
And if you want to get even angrier, go and read some of the quotes about the film, that are about the production, the making of the film, because it might just add to a little bit of that thing of like, wow, you really didn't kind of understand the entire point behind it, or it was just a very superficial understanding.
And that's the thing, it is, and it doesn't work because it's superficial.
Yeah.
Like it's talking about very, very big things very, very superficially.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work.
Yeah.
For me, who obviously
works. Are these quotes from?
The people involved in the production.
Okay, so the people involved in making it.
Yes, right. Like the director and the producers and the other people.
Okay,
around that.
Right.
You can just, after I've seen it now, I'm like, huh, really? That's what you say? Okay, right. Yeah. It doesn't lend itself to, actually being smarter than what we were presented with. And that's a bit kind of.
They're entirely justified to say that that was their intention. But as the consumer, we have every right to have our own opinions on that.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I would like to say.
The lovely thing about cinema is that we all experience it through our own lens.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And Lens didn't like this one.
Yeah, yeah. I have to say I like bits of it, but then the rest of it made me go, but it's a bit, it's weird.
By no means are we discouraging you from participating in the film by watching it. No.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's obviously a big deal and it's going to be spoken about for years.
Yeah. But I mean, we've given you warnings, and at the start of the show, we gave you, a trigger warning as well. So, watch it at your own.
Hopefully it gives you a bit more ammunition to go into it, look at it a bit critically to go, really, is that though? Or if someone goes, I love it, it's my favorite film, then you can ask the question, but why?
I honestly haven't seen any opinions from women that it was good.
Yeah.
The only opinions that I have seen so far. I mean, I'm not looking for them, but the only ones that I have seen that have come across me were opinions from men saying it was fantastic.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting, that.
Then what about next week?
Next week is my choice.
Yeah. Ah.
We are going to be discussing The New Look on Apple Plus. A look into the world of the couture houses in Paris during the Second World War.
I have been watching it and I have learned a lot because I got to say, I didn't know much about it.
Oh, we're going to have a wonderful discussion next week.
But I have learned enough to understand what is going on now. And I know who Coco Chanel is.
Oh, and I know who Balenciaga. I know that guy. I've heard of that label.
I've heard of these things. Fascism. Turn to the left.
To the left.
Fascism. Turn to the right.
Fascism. Even further to the right.
Yes. Very interesting kind of miniseries that's still currently screening, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. And awesome. Peter won't be there next week, and Quinny won't be there next week either.
No.
No. Pete, where are you going?
Another conference.
Right.
Ugh. High flying person. Where is it? Burkina Faso?
Gold Coast.
Pretty much Burkina Faso.
Burkina Faso of the upper coast of Burkina Faso of the east coast of Australia.
The Burkina Faso of the All right then.
Thanks everybody. There's a very good chance I won't see you all for a couple of weeks at least.
Well,
I'm gonna be not around. We'll see how we go, but
I'll guilt you into it.
If I can be here in 2 weeks' time for Ghostbusters, I will be, but the odds of me getting a chance to fucking see it, not real good.
I'll live tweet you.
I will
and then
kill
this
you.
Happened, and then this
I will
happened,
kill
and then
you.
This happened. Oh my god, they brought back Venkman.
Dion might be reviewing Ghostbusters by himself. In 2 weeks.
May do, maybe not. We don't know.
Maybe you can call in a ringer.
Call in a ringer.
Who are you going to call?
Ah!
I'm not
proud
of that.
I'm going to call in Slimer.
Excellent.
Excellent. All right.
And thank you, Kanga. Thank you, everybody. Yes, shall we go and raid someone?
You should go raid someone. Who should we go and raid?
Oh, look, let's go and raid Jordan. Jordan's doing Supermarket Simulator.
Oh,
way to fight the patriarchy with Supermarket Simulator.
Yep, full respect.
Is she like checking out her own groceries?
Quite possibly. I'm not sure. She's hanging out with. Yeah, she's hanging out with Slump. So there you go.
Isn't self checkout just a camera phone?
Beep.
All right.
Beautiful.
That's enough.
Thanks for joining us tonight, guys.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.